Well, good morning, church. It is a beautiful day in the house of God. Amen. And good to see everybody at home as well. I know a bunch of people are online watching, and today's the Lord's Day, so we're going to celebrate God on this day. Just a few announcements as we get started. The first one is that Jackie has begun us on the angel tree for December already. And there's a couple of things. Do you want to point this out, or do you want me to point out up here?
All right, good.
So we're looking for three things, basically, that we're hoping to pick up to get ready for the angel tree bags, baskets, things we call them. The first one is, and somebody got these, I think these are awesome, just some good thick socks, some like this. They are incredibly important. I swear to you, socks are like gold on the streets. And so if you can pick up some socks like these are absolutely wonderful, or something like this. And then these plastic water bottles, reusable water bottles, are at Walmart for like a dollar. And you can pick those up there. Somebody got several of these and brought these up as well. So you can grab these. And there's also little flashlights that you can get for about a dollar as well. So we're going to put those in the angel tree baskets for the bags for our friends in the streets this year. And if you can pick up those, we'll get started on those now. The second thing is that seminary Sunday mornings, if you haven't been a part of that watching it, you need to be. I know some people have. I know some people online were just watching. Our seminary is putting together basically Sunday school classes from 9 to 10 every week online. You can go to memphisseminary.edu. You can go to our website. You can find it there. But these are taught by seminary professors. They're very down-to-earth folks. If you go to the website, the previous weeks are there too. So the Book of Mark just ended with Dr. Mitzi Miner. That last one of that was today, so you can go back and watch all four of those. And then next week, Pete Gackey, the dean of the seminary, will be doing spirituality during crisis, during COVID. So that'll be fantastic as well. I know Pete, and he's a phenomenal teacher. So go to our website. Go do that. Figure out how. Online, you can go real quick and you can find out all the information about it. But those are fantastic opportunities to learn a little bit more about the faith. So those two things are going on. And the last thing we're going to do is that we want to honor our graduates this year. This has been such a weird year for graduates, man. Such an odd year. I know we had the downtown, the seniors drove through downtown one night and everybody paying cars up and that sort of thing. But it's been difficult. And so we want to make sure that we honored our graduates this year, some that could join us today and some that couldn't. So as we go through this, I'm going to talk about them. And Sally's got a Bible that she's going to provide each of the graduates to take with them. And I just want to let you know who they are. So if you could give us our first slide. Gracie, come on down here. We got to talk about Gracie for a second. Gracie is such a servant of the church. I want to give you a little bit of background on her graduation. Do we have a slide for that as well? Oh, we shall wait a moment. We'll just sit here and admire how awesome Gracie is for a minute. And we just hang out for a second and talk about it. I'm done talking about it. But give me one second. Here it is. Gracie is the daughter of Rhett and Amy Bryan, and the granddaughter of Mike and Mary Jo, and Brian and Jerry and Ruth Bowers. Go back one. Oh, no. I want to talk fast. So she graduated from the Family Christian Academy. She is heavily involved in school. She participates in the Murfreesboro Orchestra. She does Meals on Wheels. She does the Jenkins Quilting Club. She comes to the Burrito Ministry and helps make burritos just about every week. She's a math tutor at the Learning Center, and also helps tech support here at Jenkins. She's been running the cameras this morning. This fall, she's looking to... Oh, you don't know what you're doing this fall. We're still thinking about it, right? No. That's the good thing. Go on the journey, man. Figure it out. But Gracie has been such a phenomenal part of the church and our service to the church. It has been amazing to watch her the last 4 years grow up. So everybody give Gracie a hand. You're awesome, kiddo. Thank you. William Carver Hardison. One more. There we go. This is the son of Bill and Kim Hardison and the grandson of Louise Russell. He graduated from Nolensville High School back in May. He was part of the football team for all 4 years and was also involved in the culinary arts program. That's a fantastic program, by the way, at Nolensville High School. Wes is involved in it. If this kid's part of that, he learned to cook well. Upon graduation, Carver is going to attend Tennessee Tech University and pursue a degree in business and sports nutrition. And this is Louise's grandson, so you know the kid's good people if it's Louise's grandson. So everybody give him a hand as well. Our next one is, we will wait for a Lauren Linder. Lauren is here. Come on up. This is the daughter of Carl and Nancy Linder, graduated from Motlow State Community College and Associates this year. Fantastic achievement. Absolutely. Lauren has done volunteer work for Stonecrest Hospital. She works at the Cumann Nolensville Tutoring Center as well. Has been a very active member of this church for years and a wonderful servant of the church. Always here to serve when it's time to do so. Most recently, he's participated in the children's ministry and worked in the choir and does all kinds of stuff when we have our the fish fries and all that kind of thing. So Lauren has been a wonderful servant of this church, and congratulations to you on the degree. Well done, Lauren. Well done. Now, I think this is the last one. Don't hold me to it if it's not. Emma Nicole Bomer, this is daughter of Barb and Smith and stepdaughter of Alan Smith. She graduated magna cum laude from Middle Tennessee State University with a degree in mathematics, oh my goodness, and a minor in education. While at MTSU, listen to this, she served on the as a presidential scholarship, the M-Teach Noise Scholarship, participated in the Eureka Research Grant, and she's accepted a position at Blackman Middle School to teach 7th grade math this fall, and she has her favorite hobby is her cat, which is completely understandable. So congratulations to Emma as well. For those that are here, congratulations to you, and enjoy the next step of your journey. For those that are not, do the same thing, and I can't wait to see you all very soon. Congratulations. Are there any other announcements, anything else going on in the life of the church that we need to talk about for a moment? If there's not, we'll have a call to worship. It is responsive. If you would stand, it's Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. But I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the ability to come here and worship as a people in this room. And we thank you that we are able to come and worship as a people on the internet, watching and participating that way. I thank you, Lord, for the person in the church that gave a small tithe this week, that never been in the church more than once or twice, but she saw that she wanted to give to a church because they were living the gospel. And we thank you, God, that that's the case. And we ask you to teach us more about that gospel today. Allow us in this worship service to be changed, renewed, whatever we need to be, so that we can go in the world, even in the midst of this COVID days, and go live out the gospel as best we know how. Lord, we ask you these things because you are the author of all good things. You are the creator of all good things. Nothing good can come that wasn't created by you in some way. And so, Lord, we just ask that you bless us in this time. Bring us into a better place, an enlightened place, so that we can go in the world and be disciples of yours. We ask these things in your name, and God's people said, you may be seated. We're going to continue not singing as a group right now because that's like a super spreader of this virus. But we have our musicians who are going to continue to bless us with song. Thank you. Amen, amen. Melanie, welcome back. It's good to see Melanie back in the saddle up here, isn't it? Appreciate you coming and helping out again today. And we are blessed to have so many fantastic musicians in the church. And I want to thank everybody who's pitched in during these odd times to be a part of this. We'll talk about offering for just a moment, and we want to have a prayer for the offering, and then for the people as well. I said it a moment ago. I'd let the cat out of the bag. I meant to wait. There's somebody that is watching online recently who sent just a few dollars in an envelope to be a part of the offering here at the church. That was, they wanted to send their tithe. And what a fantastic thing, a testament to the church and to the person to do that. Our tithes and our offerings are important for a couple of reasons. One is they help us. They teach us what it means to be responsible, to understand where it came from, that it came from God. The other thing is it does good for other people. We're helping out with somebody with another light bill. I got the word last night, Jackie, that we had somebody need help with a light bill. And so we're going to help out with that this week. And so those tithes, those offerings go to those things as well as keeping the church going and doing all the things that we do. And I just want to thank everybody for that. But I want to remind, and also the offering boxes in the back that Rich made. Thank you so much, Rich, for doing that. And you can give tithes and offerings online as well. But I also want to say this, is that offerings can't be just a rote automatic handing up over of some of our money. That's too easy. That's simple. We can all do that, right? We can all give a dollar or $10 or $100 or whatever in the plate. What really becomes challenging is how do I give other parts of me? How do I give my time, my talents, those other gifts that were given to me that I can repay to the world to make their life better and to remember where it came from? So if we have talents, if we have gifts, if we whatever it is we have, these are the times in the week that we need to go and offer those things up to folks. So I hope that you're taking time each week to continue offering up to the Lord what is the Lord's and giving it to the people who desperately need it. I also want to talk for a second about giving our challenges over to God and the challenges of others. Part of our offering is Lord, take these things off of me. I don't know how to deal with these things, and Lord, can you help me on these? And so as you're going through your week, I hope you offer those things up as well, those challenges in our lives. And right now, I want to open it up to those challenges in our lives or others that we need to be in prayer for. I know we need to be in prayer for our brother James. He's going to be doing some traveling over the next week or so. And so we need to lift him up because these are difficult times to be traveling. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for? Harold, we're praying for you and your wife, man. I know you're going through difficult times without being able to really be in contact with her. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for today?
Melanie Soyson.
And continue to be praying for Melanie, absolutely.
And Greg Bullock.
And Greg Bullock. Melanie Soyson and Greg Bullock. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for today?
My first cousin, Claudia Owens.
Claudia Owens.
Lost her husband of 50 years last Friday night. Oh. They were having dinner at their home alone. He got choked.
Oh.
And she was there. At least she was there with him. But right. Steve and I double dated with them before we married, so right. We're real close. But gotcha. He's survived by two sons and her sister, and they're with her in South Carolina. But just keep her in your prayers, because it's a struggle to watch your mate die, but watch it happen in front of you.
And not to be able to do anything with him. Yeah, so we need to be in prayer for the Owens family on the loss of Claudia's husband. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for today? Anybody else we need to be lifting up in prayer? For those that put them online, know that we're getting all our prayer requests to our prayer team. So all these are going to the prayer team, and we're continuing to pray for these all week long. So please know that as well. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we lift up these names to you of Melanie Soyce and Greg Bullock, of Claudia Owens and her family. We lift up these names, Lord, and all those names that are being entered in online right now. We know, Lord, that we need to turn these things over to you. This is part of our offering. It's part of giving to you what we know that we might not necessarily be able to handle well. And so we ask God that you take these, you take the other gifts that we give, the good things that we give, and we ask you, Lord, to do something with all of them, change them, move them, make them more, make them less, whatever it is that you feel like you need to do. And we ask, Lord, that you do those things so that we can get through this world in a way that you would have us go through it. We ask these things because we know we can't handle them on our own, and it's only you that can help us through. And we pray this through your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to read again from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You've heard this. This is the fourth week. This week we're going to be talking about patience. And Galatians 5, 22, 23 reads this way. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. When I started this sermon series, I started reading through the scripture several times, and I knew that the fourth week was on patience, and I called my mom up, and I was like, how do you preach on something you ain't got none of? We're going to figure it out. That's the only thing I know. So this is the question I want to start with. What's the difference in being stubborn and being right? When does stubborn turn into I told you so? Is it stubborn if you're right when people think you're wrong the whole time? So ask Noah about that. Can you imagine the grief that brother caught? Noah quits cutting down all the trees. Noah, dude, quit hammering at 3 a.m. Noah, dude, stop. You're just embarrassing yourself. Quit being so stubborn. But he didn't stop. He kept on. He kept hammering and cutting and doing what he was supposed to do. He kept on. And then when it started raining, everybody else wished they'd had a boat. When does stubborn turn into being right? There was Job. He did everything right. He was a fine, upstanding man, Christians, the scripture says. But then everything went wrong for him because God and Satan somehow made some weird wager. He lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his wealth. He even got boils from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. And his friends kept saying, Job, dude, you must have done something to deserve this. You must have done something bad for all this to happen to you. So repent, Job. Repent and you'll be free from all this. But Job, you see, was stubborn. He protested. He demanded that he hadn't done a doggone thing to deserve this. And he never backed down. He proclaimed his innocence and that he'd always done right. And after a bunch of arguing, he was probably finally proven right. He wasn't stubborn at all. He was righteous. What about Jesus? Were there times when Jesus looked like he was being stubborn when he was actually walking in God's will all along? What about that time that the Spirit of God hurled him into the wilderness to prepare him for the ministry he was about to do? Jesus, the Son of God, had to be tempted. He had to figure out who he was. He had to make some peace about some things. He had to work out what ministry meant in his life. And so he had to go out in the wilderness for 40 days. And don't you know, somebody about day 7 or 8 texted him and was like, dude, you don't have to stay out there. You can crash on my couch if you need to. But no, Jesus wasn't going to do that. He had to be out there in the wilderness preparing himself, even if nobody else could understand why in the world he was doing it. He was stubborn, that boy. Not enough sense to come in out of the desert. But what nobody realized is he wasn't stubborn. Jesus was doing the right thing. And eventually, everybody found it out. When Jesus got started into ministry, there were all kinds of people trying to hold him back, to try to keep him from going down his path. People told him over and over that he wasn't supposed to go and do that on the Sabbath. Don't be picking grain while you're walking by in the field. Don't heal on the Sabbath. That's the Lord's day. That's the day we don't do anything because we're honoring God in everything. So heal tomorrow. Jesus, that dude's arm's been like that for 20 years. One more day is not going to matter. But Jesus healed him anyway. Why? Because he was stubborn or because he was right? There was even one time when he was so stubborn that his mom and his dad tried to seize him and take him away. That's what the Bible says. They tried to seize him. You can find it. It's in chapter 3 of Mark. And by that time in Mark, Jesus had already ticked off the Pharisees, already picked out 12 leaders, and now was in his hometown calling himself a king. And now he was inside a home, and the people were packed in so tight that they couldn't even eat. That's what the scripture said. And you know what happened when people get together and one of them starts preaching and saying he's a king, right? Well, the old king, the one who's the real king in the town, doesn't take too kindly to it. And his mama knew that. She knew what was coming. Mother Mary knew that Jesus was poking the wrong bull. She knew that Jesus was thumbing his nose at the exact people who could make him sorry for doing it. So she got her sons together and they went to the house that Jesus was in and they elbowed their way to the crowd and got as close as they could to him because they were worried about him. And they're like, boy, come on home with us. This doesn't make any sense, man. Matthew picks up the story where Mark leaves off and he says, Jesus says one of the most controversial things in all of Scripture. Jesus says out loud with mama in there right at the door where they could hear. He said, who's my mother and my brothers? You believers, you were my mother and my brothers. And don't you know Mary's like, boy, that boy is stubborn as his daddy. He wouldn't go home. He kept doing what was right, no matter what. When does stubborn become right? Is it only after Mary visited the empty tomb? Was it only after James became a believer? Was Jesus ever stubborn, or was he just right all along? That's the story of Scripture over and over, that some folks just kept doing what God called them to do, even when it didn't look like it made any sense. Moses kept doing God things even when people decided a cow should lead them instead. Paul kept doing God things even when everybody wanted that dude to shut up. And if anybody had reason to stop doing what they were doing, it was Paul. If Paul stopped, if Paul would quit being stubborn, Paul could go back to all the fancy parties again. He could get the best seat at the steakhouse again if he quit being so dumb about things. If he just repent and go back to the Pharisee ways, he could go back to his high life again. Paul wouldn't have had to be chained in the basement of a jail if he wasn't stubborn. He wouldn't have to have been beaten within an inch of his life. He wouldn't have had to go through the trials and the tribulations that he did if he wasn't so stubborn or if he wasn't so right. What takes us from stubborn to right? What propels us down the road when the road is blocked by people thinking we should go a whole nother way? What's being stubborn and being right all along? Well, if you ask Paul, I believe he might say that what gets us from stubborn to right is what's called patience. The fruit of the Spirit called patience. Patience is what gets us from stubborn to right. If Christians are going to do what Jesus did, if Christians are going to do what Paul did, or what Moses did, or what Noah did, or what Job did, or any of them did, it's going to take patience to show the world that we weren't stubborn at all. Maybe we were right. Or maybe with the way some Christians are acting these days, somebody else's patience showed them something. Depends on which side of the coin you're on, I guess. Now, this word patience is incredibly important. We have to know how Paul meant it for it to make sense. The fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about is not the kind of patience that you wait for Christmas to get here. It's not the kind of patience that you wait for somebody to show up because they're late for dinner. It's not the patience where we want something, but we have to put it off because it's just not time to get that thing yet. It's not that kind of patience. This patience that Paul tells us is a fruit of the Spirit is the kind of patience that says, I don't care if the world tells me I'm going the wrong way. I want to keep going this way because I believe it's the way of Jesus Christ. And I'll wait to be proven right if I have to. Nobody has to know yet. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do with this because I'm patient. It's the patience that says, I'm going to keep like living like Jesus called me to live, and I'm going to keep doing it, even if I don't necessarily see how it's going to pay off in the long run. This patience is the patience that says, I'm going to keep doing Jesus things, regardless of how it looks some days, because I know good and well that Jesus Christ is right. It's the patience that allows us to keep going on as long as the Lord calls us to go without worrying about how we look. We'll just look good when it matters. Y'all, Paul knew about patience. He knew that when we lived in the Spirit, that the Spirit would provide him patience. He knew all about it. Didn't he have to struggle and keep plodding along while Jesus' way looked more like a prison than a penthouse? But 2,000 years later, we don't call him stubborn, we call him right. Didn't he fight for Jew and Gentile both, slave and free, male and female? Didn't he make sure nobody was left out of the kingdom, even when people wanted some left out? He was patient because what else are you going to do when you do God's work? Now, that's not to say that the way of Jesus is difficult only. It is the most beautiful of ways. It is the perfect way. Things happen in the kingdom of Jesus that are like nothing else in this entire world. Those are the thin spots in the world that I talked about last week, those moments that we didn't even know were possible. There's nothing even close to the way of Jesus Christ. The way is better than anything else. But the truth of the gospel is that those ways do come under direct attack from the world. Because the world doesn't value grace. The world doesn't live to be a peacemaker because it doesn't have a place for mercy. The world doesn't love or doesn't value loving everybody as much as we love ourselves. And so when Jesus' followers live in Jesus' way, and I mean when Jesus' followers really, really, really live the radical way of Jesus Christ, you bet the world is going to snap back. It always has. It always has. Just ask Jesus. Ask Paul. Ask anybody who's been ridiculed for living the life like Jesus said live, by loving others as much as they love themselves. And so to do this faith the right way, Paul says that we must feast on the fruit of the Spirit called patience. We must eat of it and gather strength from it because it's going to take patience to keep going when the world tells the Jesus freaks to try another path. It'll get angry when Jesus people won't try their path at all, and it'll shame Christians for walking with the least of these instead of the greatest of these. That's the way it works. And so we have to be patient. Maybe patience isn't the best word, though. There are other words. Maybe a better word for what Paul was describing is something like forbearance. That's a weird word. Maybe long-suffering. What he meant, I think, was that we have to be prepared to go the way of Christ, even if we have to do it by swimming upstream. The Christian's job is to just keep swimming. Be patient. Don't stop. Now, I've said that, and now I want to say something else. To follow this patient way, this way where we lean on the Spirit of God to plod down Jesus' way regardless of the barriers in our path, to follow this way takes two things maybe. I came up with two things. Maybe it's more than that, but I got two. It takes bravery and it takes humility. It takes bravery. It takes bravery to be long-suffering, to be patient, and to keep going on when everything tells you to stop. That takes bravery. You can't do it unless you're prepared to do it in the hardest times to do it. I've said it for a while now, that the person in front of the gun is braver than the one behind the gun. It's like the guy in Tiananmen Square. Y'all remember him, right? The guy that stood in front of the tank. He's the one that stared down a tank. That man was brave. But you're not brave just because you decide to be brave. You're brave because you believe in what you're doing. You're brave because you're powered by the Holy Spirit when you believe in the way of Jesus Christ. If you're with Jesus, the Spirit is with you, and you can do that which you were called to do. To feast on patience means to know that God's got you, man. God has got you, and so you can be brave. I had a professor one time that was part of the leadership of the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa. Y'all remember apartheid, I'm sure. Well, he was one of the big three leaders who defeated it. It was Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu, and my professor, Alan Bosak. Those were the three. So Bosak was talking in class at one point and said that the marchers that he was with were crossing a bridge in South Africa as part of a massive protest, and he was leading that march. And it was a rousing success, this march, too. Another time when they were able to make great strides against racism in that country, which had been embedded in their laws. Afterwards, someone was talking to him, and they had been watching the march from on top of a tall building. And they asked him how he was so brave in the march. And he said, "What do you mean?" And the person said that when you crossed that bridge, you were 10 yards out in front of everybody else. How were you so brave to march that out in front of everybody when bullets could come flying at any second? And Bosak replied that he had no idea he was out front. He just knew he was doing what needed to be done, and so he marched. And eventually they stamped out apartheid in South Africa. He said he might not have done it if he knew he was out there alone. Bravery isn't something he decided to have. It came from following the way of Christ with all he had. It was a byproduct of following Jesus wherever Jesus goes, because if God can rescue Jesus with resurrection, I'm pretty sure God's got us too. Bravery is a part of patience. It'll come because it's a fruit of the Spirit. But y'all, hear this, because it's important. You can't just be brave to be patient. Patience asks for humility too, for we have to remember in our patience that we are fallible human beings. Sometimes we think God's about stuff that God's not about at all. There's a lot of people that are brave for God, but they're brave for the wrong reasons. They've tapped into the wrong spirit. I've seen some folks that are patient, but they can be patient for the wrong things. Things that's just stubborn, because it never turns into righteousness. The whole thing about the faith is that I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was once blind, but now I can see. And that's not a one-time deal. That is the story of the Christian life. We learn more and more as we go along, and sometimes we realize we didn't have it right last time. That's why studying your Bible and reading and serving your brother and sister in need is important, because it teaches us how to do the faith better and better and better every day. And so in our patience, we must know that just because we think we know something doesn't mean we know it. We have to remember that we might know something wrong, and we still need to see better. So yes, we must be resolute in our patience, but also be prepared to give up every single thing that we believe if it means following Jesus just a little bit better. We got to humble ourselves, because Jesus might just teach us something that we thought we already knew. Somebody knows this. You just knew something one time, didn't you? And you found out it wasn't true? You didn't mean for it to be wrong. You're good people. You mean to be right. You meant to be good, and you followed a particular path. You followed an idea. You followed a decision. You followed something that you thought was good, and it took you right down the wrong path, didn't it? Lord have mercy. There's nothing in the world more dangerous than people doing the wrong things in the name of Jesus Christ. So patience requires humility, and knowing that at any moment we must back up on the very tenets of what we believe, and then have the patience to travel a new path instead. Church, this faith of Jesus Christ is absolutely beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. It is the way that Jesus taught, and it's the thing that is best for all of creation. It's about loving your neighbor as much as you love yourself. It's about valuing others as much as you value yourself. It is the best life, because it remembers that we're all God's children, every single one of us. And when we live in this world together, there can be nothing more heavenly than that, except for heaven itself. But to live like that, we have to have patience. We have to have patience to walk the Jesus path no matter where the Jesus path goes. We've got to walk it, and we've got to get on it, and we've got to walk it again. Put one foot in front of the other and be brave about it, knowing that the Spirit of God will blow us right on down the road, man. And we can do it humbly too, knowing that there are other spirits that will whisk us away if we don't anchor ourselves in the study of our faith. So live in the Spirit, church, and know that you're not stubborn. You're just trying to follow Jesus with everything you got. You're trying now, and you're trying forevermore to live with joy and love and peace, and you're trying to do so patiently. So go live it with all you've got. And the Lord and God's people said, amen. We have another song. Philip's going to join in on us. At the end, we'll have a commitment, a prayer of commitment, and I just ask that you are in the thought now, asking the Lord to lead you down the path, wherever it goes. And when you go that way, go with all you got. Let's hear the music, please. I'm glad Melanie's back so we can have a tambourine again. This is what I'm happy with. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we ask you for patience. We know this way of yours is a slow go sometimes. We think we're going to change the world, and what we just need to do is change ourselves a little bit to serve a brother and a sister just a little bit. And so we ask you, Lord, to keep us on the path, to put guardrails up if need be, so we don't leave. You stick us on the path and blow at our back and cause us to go down that way as far as you would have us go. We ask these things, Lord, because we want nothing more than to be within your will. There is nothing we want more than to be inside your way. And so we ask you, Lord, to teach us in every way to do that. Where we can lead brothers and sisters on the way, we ask you to show us how to grab them by the hand and bring them with us. And where others need to drag us back on the path, we ask, Lord, that we have some humility about us to know that we need to be listening as much as we need to be talking. Lord, we ask these things because nothing in this life is more important than walking with inside your will. And so we ask you to teach us that in every way. Lord, for those prayer requests that have come in, we lift up those names. For those who couldn't even mention the difficulties in their lives or somebody else's, we pray for those unspoken situations as well. And we ask you to send us out in the world to go do to do your work. And all of God's people said, amen. It is so amazing to see you all again. And we're going to keep doing this for the time being until we figure out we can't do it or we're going to do more of it. We don't know. But in the meantime, we're just going to praise God. Amen. All right, let's go home. God bless. Take care.